Today's story, backed by popular request, is Sydney and Norman, A Tale of Two Pigs, written by Phil Vischer, illustrated by Justin Gerard. On a quiet street in a quiet town lived two pigs. They didn't oink or eat slop. No, this isn't that kind of story. They wore suit coats and went to work. And even though they lived right next door to each other, they didn't know each other's names. The pig on the right was Norman. He was a very good pig. Rules and hard work had always come easily to him, and it showed. His house was neat and organized. He always looked his very best. He gave money to the needy and never missed church on Sunday. Norman's teachers liked him when he was young, and his boss at work liked him now that he was all grown up. He was pretty sure God liked him, too. After all, he was a very good pig. Norman figured that everyone could be as good as he was if they just try a little harder. He wondered why they didn't. The pig on the left was Sydney. Things didn't come quite as easily for Sydney. Rules and systems and schedules seemed, well, a bit slippery. One minute he thought he had them, and the next minute, whoops, where did they go? He was forever running 10 minutes late, and he could never manage, no matter how hard he tried, to get his tie perfectly straight. Not like his neighbor. What was his name? Sydney got in trouble in school, which frustrated his teachers. He got in trouble at work, which frustrated his boss. He knew God was watching, and figured he was pretty frustrated too. But most of all, Sydney frustrated Sydney. Why was everything so hard? Why couldn't he be more like, oh, what was his name? Sydney felt broken, and some days that made it hard to get up in the morning. Some days, in fact, Sydney couldn't get up at all. Since Sydney was usually late and Norman was usually early, they very seldom saw each other, unless, that is, they happened to fetch their mail at the same time, which is exactly what happened one bright morning in October. Now, normally, if Sydney saw Norman, he would look down and shuffle back inside. He was sure Norman was staring at his tie or his hair or the papers half stuck into his briefcase. He was sure Norman was looking down on him for being messy, which for the most part was absolutely correct. But this day, Norman didn't look at Sydney's tie and Sydney didn't look away because they were both staring at the small, pale blue envelopes they had received in the mail. One was addressed to Norman and the other to Sydney. Had someone invited them both to the same party? Eager to unravel the mystery, the two pigs opened the envelopes. Norman read, "Dear Norman," and Sydney read, "Dear Sydney," followed by, "I would like you to come visit me at 77 Elm Street next Tuesday at your convenience. I have something to tell you." They both glanced at the bottom of the page and read, "Sincerely, God." Sydney and Norman reread the invitation several times to make sure they had read them correctly. God wanted to talk to them on Tuesday on Elm Street? Sydney panicked. Deep in his heart was a familiar feeling, the feeling that he had felt when, as a young pig, his teacher had sent him to the principal's office. Terror, panic, doom. Norman smiled. He too felt a familiar feeling. The feeling he had felt when, as a young pig, he was called up in front of the school to receive an award. Anticipation, happiness, pride. Sydney taped the invitation to the inside of his front door so he wouldn't lose it. Norman entered the date neatly in his date book. Both pigs had trouble sleeping that night for very different reasons. Tuesday came. Norman awoke early, dressed, and headed down the street with a pale blue envelope firmly in hand. Just waking up, Sydney saw him pass by the window and rushed for the shower. Norman walked tall and proud. Others on the street noticed that he looked a bit taller and more than a little puffier than usual that morning. His hair was neat and his tie extraordinarily straight, much straighter than anyone else's on the street. God would certainly be pleased. Norman found the address and went inside, greeting the woman at the front desk with his important voice. She directed him down a long hall, through a heavy wooden door, and into a large room where he found God sitting behind an immense desk. The sight made Norman nervous. But then he thought, what did he have to be nervous about? He was a good pig. God walked around the desk and smiled at the puffed-up pig. I'm glad you could make it, he said warmly. I have a few things to tell you. First of all, God began, I love you. Norman smiled, though he wasn't surprised. Secondly, your goodness is not the reason I love you. Norman startled a little. What a curious thing for God to say. Thirdly, God continued, you're not as good as you have led yourself to believe. You're prideful. You're selfish. You look down on others simply because things don't come as easily for them. God looked a little sad now. I love them just as much as I love you. Don't look down on those I love. Then God smiled and returned to his desk. That is what I needed to tell you. Norman swallowed hard. That was the award? That was the commendation? Confused, he turned and ran down the hall, past the front desk, and back out onto the street. His head was spinning. He felt dizzy. Was God finding fault with him? He was a good pig. He noticed his tie was off kilter and hurried to straighten it. Not perfect, but at least better than that fellow over there in the yellow jacket, or that guy in the blue, or any of these people for that matter. Then it hit him. He was looking down on those people. Right then, right there, just like God had said. And he'd done it yesterday and the day before, 20 times a day at least. Norman's face grew hot. God was right. He was selfish. He was prideful. For the first time in his life, the good pig had to face the fact that he had been very, very bad. His pride and his goodness was his sin. He buried his face in his hands and hurried home, tears splashing on his neat gray suit. From his window, Sidney saw his neighbor return in frozen shock. Was he crying? Sidney couldn't breathe. Oh dear, oh dear, if that's what a visit with God did to that guy. Oh, he was doomed. Hands shaking, Sidney tried one more time to get his tie to lie just right. Why was it so hard? Now where was his hat? Not on the hook, of course. Oh, under the couch. Hat in hand, he peeled the pale blue envelope off the door and stepped outside. A bird was singing that morning, but Sidney didn't hear it. The sun was shining brightly, but Sidney didn't hear it. Doomed, he thought. Doomed. Sidney trudged down the sidewalk and suddenly was back in school, a little pig headed down the long hall toward the principal's office, hands sweating, heart racing. Doomed. He'll see right through me, Sidney thought as he turned onto Elm Street. My messes, my mistakes, everything. And then he was there. Though he had walked as slowly as he could, he was there. Sidney stepped inside. He tried to say something to the woman at the front desk, but found he couldn't speak. She smiled and motioned him to the heavy wooden door down the hall. He gulped. A few moments later, he stood before the door. He wanted to run away. He wanted to hide. But there was no place to go and nothing to hide behind. So hat in hand, he pushed open the door and slipped inside. And there behind the desk was God. Sidney gulped again. I'm glad you could come, God said, smiling. Sidney tried to respond, but he couldn't make a noise. I want to tell you something, God continued as he came around the desk. Sidney glanced around nervously. Maybe if he apologized. First of all, God began, I love you. Sidney startled, surprised. Secondly, God continued in a quieter voice, I love you. Sidney was gripping his hat a little less tightly now. And thirdly, God paused very close to Sidney, I love you. The look in God's eyes warmed Sidney right down to his toes. That is what I wanted to tell you, God said as he stepped back toward his desk, still smiling. Sidney stood frozen for a moment, and then, realizing God had finished, he turned and ran quickly from the room. I don't understand, he said aloud when he reached the street. Didn't he see me? Didn't he see who I am? It didn't make sense. And then it occurred to Sidney. I did it. I fooled him. Sidney looked at the others on the street, smiling. Yes, that must be it. I looked good when it was most important, and he bought it. Just then, Sidney caught his reflection in a store window. His hair was rumpled. His tie, off-kilter as usual, sported a large toothpaste stain. His smile vanished. That couldn't be it. He couldn't have fooled anybody, not looking like that. Sidney was confused. There was only one other possibility, that God just loved him, exactly like he was, messes and all. Sidney felt the warmth he had seen in God's eyes welling up inside him again. Others on the street would later talk about the small, messy pig they saw that day that appeared to be, well, glowing. All the way home, Sidney looked for words to tell everyone what he was feeling, but all he found were tears, happy tears, lots of them. The next day, two pigs emerged from their homes on a bright, crisp October morning and looked at each other. The pig on the left, named Sidney, who seemed a bit taller than before, looked at his neighbor's neat, straight tie and clean clothes and smiled. The pig on the right, named Norman, who seemed ever so slightly less puffy, looked at his neighbor's crooked tie and rumpled hair and smiled. It was a real smile, too, the kind that comes from deep inside, the kind he hadn't smiled in a long, long time. Sidney and Norman became good friends. There were still mornings now and again when Norman would wake up feeling a little puffy, but all he had to do was remember what he had learned at 77 Elm Street. Then puffiness would quickly vanish and his real smile would return. And as for Sidney, he still had his share of messes, though not as many as before. And there were still a few days when he wasn't quite sure if he could get up in the morning. But if you stood outside his window on one of those days, this is what you'd hear. First of all, he loves me. Secondly, he loves me. And thirdly, he loves me. And that was all it took. This is one of my favorite stories, so it's always nice to read it over again. I have to tell you, I lost my hardcover book. I lent it to someone or put it somewhere, but I ended up buying another one, and it was paperback. And at the end, there was a really sweet letter that Phil Vischer wrote, and I won't read the whole thing to you, but it was about him comparing himself to Norman and his wife to Sidney. If you are Sidney, ask God to help you quiet the voices of shame and despair and replace them with God's own still small voice whispering, I love you, I love you, I love you. He ends it by saying, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the beauty of the gospel. We are all broken. We're all messed up pigs. When we can accept that, we're ready to become new creations God intended us to be. And that's when the fun starts. Amen.